Hello, beautiful people. Why did I start this episode that way? I'm back in the car driving to my afternoon site today, and I'm expecting to see probably 3, 4, or 5 individuals this afternoon. It's all one site, so it's easy to get from one person to the next, and so I see one or two people each hour as I can and as they're available. I don't know why I'm telling you all of that. So today I wanted to talk about something that came up on Instagram today. I put up those anonymous question boxes where people can leave me an anonymous question or message or whatever. And I had this one come through, and all it said was, "What should a music therapy student do over the summer?" And I was like, huh, what should my answer be? And I'm thinking, like, I don't know, like, what do you want to be doing? What do you think you should be doing? Are people asking you to be doing something? And then I thought about the motivation of this question. Like, this is a music therapy student in the middle of their education, and they're probably wondering, like, what's the best thing that I can be doing in this time, with my time, to prepare for the future or to get ready for the next semester, or to keep my skills up, whatever it be. And I was like, man, isn't that indicative of our culture to always be wanting to get better and do more and prepare? And it just, there was something in me that was like, no. And nothing against the person who sent this question in. That's probably the same exact question I would ask at your stage in your training. But I was like, man, it's your summer. What is the summer for? The summer is for enjoyment. The summer is for taking off. The summer is to enjoy the sunshine and spend time with friends and family. And so that's what I put up. My answer in big bold letters was relax and have fun. And it's kind of the advice that I would want to give my younger self. And there's actually a good podcast episode on that I did with a bunch of music therapists sometime last year or the year before. I think the year before. Wow. So, yes, I would want to tell my younger self to have more fun and focus on you a little more. I've always been so focused on, like, becoming a better version of me, working on myself, improving things that I want to improve about myself, all these things. And maybe it's because I'm in my 30s now, but in the last couple of years, I feel like I've had a shift in how I think about myself and how I think about, I don't know, where I am in life. And I'm so much less focused on improving myself and more focused on accepting myself. And it's cool because I feel like this has made me a better clinician. I'm like owning myself more. I'm owning who I am, how I work, how I do music therapy. And it's really, really empowering. And So I wrote a little more to this person who asked this question, and I said, you know, maybe the most important thing you can do over the summer is just come to music for the sake of music. Like, for the sake of your enjoyment of music, your delight in music, your fun with music, like, just rekindle that relationship. And then I also put, spend time or hang with people just to be with people. That's kind of how I see music therapy. It's like half music, half people. It's music with people, and for people, and with people, and around people, and whatever. And so I think those two things, just being with people and being with music, will help you support your identity as a musician and as a future music therapist, or current music therapist if you're listening to this and you're certified. Those two things will help solidify who you are, and it will, just by having fun, it's like, think about play therapy, like, just by playing and being with people and having fun, you already are improving your skills. And it might not look like school, it might not look like your training and education, but it's still so, so, so valuable. And I want to say this too, to help us all, I guess the profession as a whole, better our relationship with boundaries and self-care and prioritizing us. We have a bad history in this profession, and probably all helping professions, of burning out, of even of like leaving the profession because of burnout and anything else. And I wonder if, you know, we change our relationship to improving our skills and getting better in how we spend our time. I wonder if that will help us to be healthier, more well-rounded clinicians. So, yeah, my encouragement is, if you have the summer off, if you have a summer break, if you have summer vacation, spend that time for what that time needs, or for what that time is for. So actually relax, actually have a vacation, actually take time off. And let me just tell you, I am preaching to myself right now, because I oh my gosh, I have the hardest time taking a break and relaxing. It's because, honestly, it's because I've taken on too much, and so then I never have enough time for everything. I'm so optimistic about time in like every sense of the way you can think of it. I'm late to everything. Things take me so much longer because I'm optimistic and I think it's going to take me a lot shorter of a time to get to the place or do the thing, or, you know, it's like my brain says I have 100 hours in a day when I only have 24 and I need sleep. So I need this conversation myself. You know, what would it look like to take regular breaks, in your days, in your weeks, in your months, in your years. And thankfully, certain jobs and school has that set up for you, where you work for, you know, a few months and then you have off for a month. And you have an actual summer break. You have an actual vacation. man, this is inspiring me to, like, see how, because I have my own business, how can I set this up for myself? How can I, like, is there a way where I could possibly make enough money where I can take an entire full month off? I think it's possible, but I don't know how to do it. It might take a lot of, piecing together to figure that one out. But, this conversation is reminding me of something I saw on Instagram. I think it was on the account called the Nap Ministry. Nap as in, like, napping, sleeping, resting. And it said, rest is revolutionary. And I think that's so true. I think we've gotten so busy in this culture, in this country, in this day and age, that we have lost sight of what it means to rest. It's so hard for us even to just be still, because it feels wrong. I feel guilty for taking time for myself. Sometimes it's like I don't even know what's fun for me. It's like hard for me to have fun. And it's because there's so much value placed on work and productivity. And that's because it's this, you know, place, nation focused on power and money. And so how can we be the most efficient, and how can we make the most money and all that stuff? But what if we changed the narrative and said, how can we have the most rest? How can we live slowly? How can we notice each day going by and enjoy our time? Yeah, so this conversation has expanded into much more than just advice for students. It's like advice for everyone. I don't know. Yeah, I think we need to take more time for ourselves and relearn what it means to be human. Relearn what it means to work in America, or have boundaries and care for ourselves. We're always caring so much for so many other people. And sometimes we feel that caring for ourselves means improving our skills or getting better at something. But what would it look like if you saw that, you don't need to improve your skills, or your skills will improve themselves? That's often what I say to students that I'm supervising, especially around, like, an example is bar chords. Bar chords are hard, especially if you have only just begun playing the guitar. It's very challenging to get your finger down the right way and have the other fingers stay. And so I let students know, like, don't worry about it. You'll get there. And then I give them my experience. So I've been a music therapist now for 10 years. Yay! I just recertified again, which is very exciting. And thankfully this time I was not audited, because the first time I was. But where am I going with this? Oh, so I've been a music therapist for 10 years. And it feels like just now, like within this past year, I've been able to manage bar chords where, like, you can hear every note. You can hear every string. Because typically for the last 10 years, it's like I keep trying bar chords when I feel brave. But there's always one string or two that just, like, doesn't sound, or it's, like, half there, or my fingers are falling off the guitar because it's just so difficult to press those down the right way. And so that's a good way to look at everything, in life and in work. The things that we need will find their way to us. And yes, part of that is putting in some effort and, taking some brave steps. So for me, I had to, push myself to use bar chords even when they weren't there yet, even when they didn't sound perfect, so that it would be like my practice to getting there. And what I've done is, like, I don't want to be practicing like every night that I come home after work, or every weekend learning new music and whatnot. And so I'll do like the bare minimum, like listen to a song a few times or get the chord chart on my iPad. And then the rest of the time, you know, I might go through it once or twice on my own, but the rest of my practice time literally is in sessions. And then it's like, it's cool because I'm almost like putting myself in the situation that I'm going to be in anyway. It's like you're practicing for the sessions. And so what if you just played the music, even if it didn't sound perfect, in your sessions? And then you get that same feeling of like you're a little nervous, or there's people around and you're feeling all those things that you'd be feeling in the session. So it's like giving you the perfect setup for what it would be like. I think it's good to push ourselves into these uncomfortable situations, and like know that we are still good clinicians and we still are doing a really good job at our jobs, even if it's not perfect, even if it's not 100%. And you know, this scenario, I think what's most important is taking your downtime for you. So when you're home after a full day of work, or when you have a weekend, spend that time for you. Don't spend all of that time for your sessions and your clients and planning and learning new music and whatnot. You know, there's a little bit that has to happen with all of that, but I think we can very easily, very quickly, get pulled in to this way of working where we're always thinking about our jobs, we're always thinking about our work, and we never actually rest. And what a disservice to ourselves and to our clients and to all the people that we work with. You know, if we don't rest, if we don't take time for ourselves, if we don't take our summer breaks to just break and enjoy life, we're not showing up then in the fall or, you know, in our sessions as full, whole selves. We need that rest. We need that time to reconnect with who we are. And it might not feel like that's what's happening, but it is. Like yesterday, I in between some clients, I had like an hour or so. And so I just spent some time up at the lake because I was up by there with a client. A client's house was up there, rather. And so I just spent some time up there. We have a little pier. So I walked the pier and then I walked back. I looked at some flowers. I took some pictures of the water, and like, that was it. It was a beautiful time just for me. And it, because rest is hard for me, because it's hard for me to prioritize just time for me and nothing else, not like improving or whatever, it felt a little weird. I'm like, okay, I should be gathering content, which I did anyway, which I probably should just rest next time. Or I should make a phone call, or I should be on my phone, finishing that client's, documentation, or, you know, whatever. But if we set ourselves up to think like that all the time, we're never going to live our lives. We're always going to be thinking about the next thing. We're always going to be thinking about work or planning for work, and we're going to miss out on life. So I don't want us to miss out on life. I want us to enjoy life and be whole, balanced people, who care about our clients and care about our work, but who also care about ourselves. And that really should come first. So let this be your excuse to take a break. Even if it's just a bathroom break, like, just stop what you're doing and take 5-10 minutes just to rest. I know it can be hard, like, in the middle of your day, especially if there's, like, these unrealistic, like, external demands put on you. But, you know, honestly, if you keep meeting those demands, especially if they're, like, unrealistic, people are going to continue to expect you to be able to meet those demands. So what's more important is to show them, okay, I have, you know, this many clients to see in this amount of time. I can actually only feasibly see this amount of people because I need 10 minutes for documentation and cleaning up. I need 5 or 10 minutes to just, like, go to the bathroom, get some water, like, honestly, just take a breather because our work is so hard. Our work is so draining. It takes so much energy. So, like, I find myself, I'm sitting outside of my, this facility that I'm about to go into. And I'm like, I've had to reprogram that in my mind here because it's like they've given me, like, a caseload of people to see within the, you know, 5 or 6 hours that I'm here during a week. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to get to everyone and see everyone for this amount of time and whatever. And then I get into the work and I'm like, okay, I just did that session. And, like, I need some time for me. Like, that took a lot out of me. And it's really nice because every time my, contact, kind of like a supervisor, anytime she sees me sitting and just drinking water, or if I'm on my phone or my computer, she's like, hey, I want you to know it's okay to rest. It's okay to take a break. And it's like, I need that reassurance because in other places and other work environments, it has not been okay or not acceptable to take a break or a breather. And I would consider those places toxic work environments. So, yeah, let's show, the people we work for and each other and ourselves, like, what it realistically looks like to do our jobs. And people will have to deal with it. And maybe that means finding a different job or starting your own business. But more likely that will just mean, like, people understanding, like, oh, okay, so a music therapist needs X, Y, and Z to do their job. And then hopefully over time that can be accommodated, so that you can work and do your job and not burn out. I think sometimes we feel like we have no choice but to meet these external demands. And I guess I want to give us permission to do what we need to do for ourselves and care for ourselves and not be perfect, but also show people what it really looks like to get music therapy services. Anyway, yeah, I guess I was saying before, like, let this be your permission to get a new job or take a break or have a conversation with your boss and say, you know what, this is too much for one person to handle. Or maybe this is your excuse to write into your contract for your clients or the facilities you work with, okay, my session is in theory 60 minutes long, but the music portion is only going to last, or the activity portion is only going to last for 45 to 50 minutes. And then that extra 10 to 15 minutes is for X, Y, and Z. So I have that in my contract. I say, you know, 45 minute session time, 15 minute documentation, cleaning up, whatever. And that way it's like I can get my whole job done in that 1 hour and I don't have to take work home with me. So I think, you know, as creative people, we can figure out ways to make this work for us so that we are caring for ourselves. So like for myself, I like to give myself a little bit of extra time in between each client. So it's like I have one client and it might take me like 20 to 30 minutes to drive to them. I might give myself 45 minutes or an hour of time in between those two clients because I need that break. Like the driving is not break enough for me. I need like the drive time and some extra time to break and chill and drink some water and eat some snacks and just like relax and not think about music for a second. So see how you can incorporate rest into your everyday life. Like maybe right now, write down a couple of ideas that you have after listening to this episode. What is one way you're going to try to take a break today or tomorrow? What is a second way that you can incorporate rest into your week? And then I think the third thing, which has been like really revolutionary for me, is at the beginning of the year, or like right before the beginning of the year, my husband and I sit down together, and we just started doing this, I think, last year. But it took a lot for me to do this because it felt so so contrary to like what I've always done. But what we did is we planned out all of our vacation time like for the year. So I'm like, okay, like I think I'm gonna need a week off after 2 or 3 months. Like, let me put that in my schedule. And I literally write it in my calendar or my planner. I literally put it on my phone in my Google Calendar or whatever. And I say vacation time. And yes, there are times where I've shifted that a little bit, or we've taken a different week off instead because things come up. Or it's like I have a day off, but I really need to see this one client because the schedule is, you know, flipped and it's all weird now. But for the most part, I've had those break times and it's been so wonderful and so rejuvenating. And it's really nice to, and this is kind of what I tell new professionals to do if they have their own business too. It can be, this is a different subject, but related. It can be hard to tell people like how much your session costs, or you know, like what your rate of pay is, because it can be like, oh my gosh, are they going to be able to pay this? This is too much. Is this too little? Like, this is a big number. It can be weird. So my suggestion is make a sheet that is your services page and say, this is my rate for an hour. This is my rate for half an hour. This is my rate for groups. This is my rate for like excess travel or speaking or consultation. I know some music therapists have a different rate for assessments. So just put it on a sheet, print it out, so you don't have to second guess yourself or worry about it every time someone asks you what your rate is. Just be like, oh, here's my services page. You don't even have to say the number. Just hand it to them and they can figure it out themselves. And there's always room to be flexible. So you can always say, you know, I'm willing to work with you if your budget can't afford, you know, monthly, weekly sessions or whatever it is. Or you don't even have to say that, because if people really want your services and they can't afford it, they'll probably ask you. So the same thing applies to our calendars and our years. I think it's so much easier to like actually do the thing if it's on paper or written down somewhere, like in our phone. If I've in theory blocked off this week for a vacation, and I made that decision in January and now it's July, I am much more likely to actually take the break because I see it already written down on my calendar than if I just tried to take the break cold turkey like right now. So anyway, I hope you have gained some insight and wisdom and ideas for how you can best support yourself as a professional, as a new professional, as a student, intern, as someone who's not even in the music therapy profession, you know, whatever, whoever you are. I hope you found some nuggets of gold in this conversation. So let's remind ourselves that rest is revolutionary. We don't need to earn our rest. We don't need to work for breaks or work for self-care. But those things should be regular parts of our everyday lives. So let's care for ourselves today. All right, I'll talk with you soon.